This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Welcome, listeners, to this Tuesday evening 6:30 meeting and a podcast and this program where we, as we said, we talk about reality, restoration, and redemption in the face of addiction.
And this month, restoration, a restoration journey with couples. We're going to talk about how our hurts, hang-ups, and habits, and specifically also the addictions, affect our relationships with each other, whether it's maybe a long-term relationship that's not in a marriage yet, or a marriage relationship.
So we're very, very grateful to have Ruan and Teresa with us again. And last week they told us some of their background and where they each were and what had developed in their lives to bring them to a point where they are now. And especially Ruan was sharing with us how his addiction developed, and Teresa was sharing with us how she tried to fix him, and how
the common story. Yeah, that so many
common,
of us share.
A common story between two couples, where the one is addicted and the other one is trying to help the addict. So today we're going to continue further, and we're going to be looking at how each of you. Before we go on to the question, very, very welcome, Ruan and Teresa.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having us. Such a joy, such a privilege to be here again.
Yeah, so, I mean, there must have been some point. I mean, last week we spoke about the addictions and the codependency and so forth. But what were the struggles you were facing as a couple before you started your restoration journey?
So I think apart from the defeat and the secrecy, you know, associated with my addiction, I think one thing that I think we battled with was communication. You may or may not remember from last week how I shared that I, you know, always tried to escape the control of my mom. And that resulted in me not being able to deal with conflict. And so I thought, you know, in the beginning of our relationship, because we weren't fighting that much, that we were having a perfect relationship. But we weren't fighting that much because neither of us were, you know, disclosing things that we were unhappy about or things that we found difficult. And so I think apart from the addiction, you know, before we started our restoration journey, I think there were definitely certain things around our communication that were a bit out of kilter, if I could put it that way.
And Teresa, how were you experiencing it?
Yeah, I think for me, I really struggled with the avoidance. Well, not so much avoidance, but more the silences after we would have a conversation about a slip that he might have had or a disclosure that he has been open with. And we usually only used to have fights or disagreements when he was open about, you know, a certain slip that he had. And usually what I would be very emotional. Sometimes I would just not feel anything at all, and I'd just sit there with him, but he would always be very silent. And in the beginning of our marriage, it really upset me because my mom always gave me the silent treatment. I was often very hurt by that and thought, well, you know, it's because of me that he's being silent, you know, that it's my fault. And I often thought that it was my fault, that I had to be a better wife, I had to clean the house more, I had to be this perfect person that I could not actually really be at all. And so I often, you know, I often felt very confused after conversations. And then I just sit with this emotion of and this hurt that I've been, that I've heard, you know, from him, been hurt from him. And we won't talk about it again, and it would just be kind of shoved underneath the carpet. So it really was a breakdown in communication that affected our relationship.
Teresa, thank you so much for sharing that. It's actually very common. Counselors call that a person being very stoic, or actually stonewalling. That's the word for that. And many, we are the same situation. And then often what happens, the one partner starts pursuing the other partner or back off. But for me, it was pursuing. And the other one is stonewalling. And stonewalling is actually a position of power.
It's also a form of control.
Yeah, because I was thinking I'm the one controlling because I was the one that was pursuing. But I understood later that stonewalling was also a form of control. So actually both partners are trying to control the relationship to protect themselves or to try and fix the relationship. And it's just not working. And it just makes everything worse. So what happened? How did it happen that you guys started on a restoration journey as a couple? Because actually before that journey, I don't know about you guys, but we had to start our own restoration journeys before we could really start the couple restoration journey. What did it look like for you guys?
Yeah, so I think, like I mentioned, when Ruan was open about being involved with prostitutes, we separated for about a month. And it was really just a time for me to heal and think and really work through that hurt and that betrayal. And in that time, I actually started my recovery, and I started joining COSA, which is a codependent of a sex addict group.
A 12-step group, right?
It was such an amazing support group at that time. I joined COSA as well a few times, but I just didn't feel like I fitted in there. I didn't meet anyone there that had the same, going through the same situation that I am and the hurts that I am. They're kind of the same, but they're not. And it was really awesome support for me in that time to really share my feelings in a group and to really say it as it is and not feel judged, not be condemned for what I'm thinking or feeling. And it was such a bonding time for me with these women.
And may I add also for people not giving you advice, right? Because that's a big problem we have. But often people say, but why don't you do that? Or why don't you dress more sexy? Or, you know, if people give the most terrible advice because they just think from their perspective. But when they don't understand, so many people don't understand the dynamics of an addiction. So we deal specific from today, we deal with sex addiction and porn addiction, but there are many other addictions. And often people that are not addicted or they don't understand the dynamics of addiction end up giving the wrong advice. It sounds very spiritual. Maybe they give some scripture verses, or they want you to pray more, read more Bible, read this book, read that book. Was that also your experience, Teresa?
I was actually quite lucky. I think a lot of the women that I shared with were very understanding.
Well, but at the
no one told
group.
Me I need to be more sexy, because I would have probably strangled them. No, I'm joking.
Right, understandable.
But I think there was just so much anger in me. I think I would have really been angry at that, very hurt by that. So luckily, the women that I had in my life, they were very supportive. They didn't force me to do anything. They really were just there and listened. And, I also withdrew a lot to myself, and I was also very isolated. And even though they were there in support, it's something that you kind of walk alone as well, even though you have the support. But because your hurt is your hurt, you know, and sometimes you just don't want to be around people. So I find luckily that I had the support needed at that time.
And so I just want to reiterate what you're saying, that it's so important for the partner of the addict also to get help. So often we think the addict needs to get help, but actually the partner also needs help. And there are groups like Al-Anon for friends and family members of people struggling with addictions, like also for those struggling with drug addiction, there's help for their family members and friends. So people just need to look out for that. There are groups that can help. And Ruan, what did it look like for you? When did you get into a restoration journey?
So pretty much around that same time, you know, after I disclosed to Teresa, we separated for a month. I mean, it's something I won't ever forget. It was during my birthday month. So in September that we separated, and I started attending a 12-step program called Sex Addicts Anonymous, in short SAA, which is actually something that I think Teresa sent on to me.
My codependency
sex story. Anyway, I mean, I was at that point where, you know, I was willing to do anything, you know, to get better. My recovery journey started then as well, where I joined this 12-step group where I've met men, of different, you know, ages and backgrounds, all, you know, struggling with a similar, thing. And I was just so amazed, to learn that, I wasn't alone, you know, even though, you know, the details of our stories were different, like, you know, the result, I could say, was almost the same. Like, we were all in this space where we had dysfunctional upbringings, and sometimes similar backgrounds with alcoholic dads or controlling moms or, you know, just being exposed to pornography at a very young age. And we're all in this room and, can relate to one another. And I think that really opened a door for me to be vulnerable, to be, you know, to practice the principle, the practice of, you know, being open and vulnerable and sharing my story.
Yeah, thank you, Ruan. It's so, so important. And I think let's take a break now. And after the break, I'd like us to look how your individual journeys actually came together and you started working as a couple, because I think that is so important for us. Thank you so much, listeners. We'll be back soon. Yes, very welcome back, listeners, and Ruan and Teresa. Before the break, we were talking about your individual journeys on a restoration journey. But we'd like to speak more about your journey as a couple. So at which point and what made you start on a journey as a couple?
So I think like we shared before the break that we both found ourselves in our individual recovery due to a separation period. Obviously when we came back together, there were certain, you know, criteria that Teresa had, and you know, in order to decide whether we can actually continue or not, and I had to obviously display, you know, some changes. And I remember during our session back together, which was also facilitated by close friends and family, not family, friends. Well, I say family because it's the family of God, but close friends in the church, and I disclosed something to Teresa, and, you know, she was again quite upset, and I just said, but, you know, it's not that I want this, and, you know, I was quite, you know, very adamant, and she said, well, but for the first time, it's the first time that she sees me being so honest about how I feel. And I think that was sort of a turning point for us to realize that, you know, we need to be real about our communication, not only with our individual support groups, but also within our marriage, within our relationship. There was a couple in our church that was very instrumental in us journeying together in our marriage, you know, on this road of recovery, because, you know, I did what was called a first step share in the 12-step program that I mm-hmm. shared about earlier. And I used that exercise to also do a full disclosure to Teresa, in presence of this other couple that's in our church. And, they just helped us or facilitated us in terms of communicating to one another, and drawing out the feeling, how Teresa felt, because of my behavior and that sort of thing. And so we definitely would not have been able to do it on our own.
Ruan, do they have a counseling background or not, that specific couple?
They actually led not a celebrate recovery group, but a chemical recovery group.
They have experience.
In our family church in Joburg. That was mostly for people that struggled with drugs and alcohol. And it was a very successful group. So they had some recovery background.
Okay. That's very important. And I just want to reiterate this, because it's so wonderful that you were able to find help within your church, because that's often where we look. But unfortunately, often, if there aren't anyone with recovery experience, they often don't know what to do. But that's why it's so important for us to talk about these things in churches, and that those of us who have this experience will speak up in our churches, so that look how wonderful it would be if someone in your church now can come to you and you can be such a beautiful guide helping them and guiding through. Because people in churches who don't have this experience just don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's so important that the people that are helping addicts have knowledge and experience of how to help somebody. Otherwise, they just give scripture verses, and that's no help at all.
For years, pastors would go to people, and people would just say, "We'll pray for you, and you know, the Lord will help you to stop." They don't understand the what addiction is, how cunning and baffling and powerful addiction actually is. Okay, but what happens after this?
We actually joined a group called Recovering Couples Anonymous. What year was that?
When it started.
It was in its inception stage. We met, obviously, in our individual recoveries, we've met people that were also couples, and they started this group called Recovering Couples Anonymous. And because we were both in, recovery, we saw the benefits of it. It was, in our minds, obvious that we had to do the same thing for our marriage, and so I think that helped us a lot, again, just to cement the principles of, daily communication, being vulnerable about not just how our day was, but, what things that maybe triggered us, what things we found difficult, so that we could be each other's, closest friend in terms of support, and in a healthy way, not in a codependent way, but so that is something that's helped us as well in the beginning.
In that group, that RCA group, they don't give specific tools, but we come to realize that there are certain things that we can do as a couple. Suki and I are also in that group. And we just see how just being in that group and sharing brings change. And so what were some of the things that you saw changing first in your coupleship?
I don't think really specific things. I think we are still in the work in progress.
As we all are.
Yes. And I think what really helped us in that group as well is just to hear everyone share, and we obviously learn from them as well, and try to implement that as well, and You know, we often struggle, if we're not communicating very well, then that means that we're either watching too much TV or something like that. Mm. And then it's just when we're at the group and we're just reminded again, you know, no, we need to communicate every day and do that first. And then those other things can come.
Yeah,
I think communication was probably the main one.
Absolutely. The group, just for people that are listening, you could also make an inquiry and we can give you the contact details. But the group meets on a Sunday afternoon for about an hour and a half. And it's a very structured group where people don't do crosstalk, so they don't give each other advice. There's always a specific topic that is shared. Many of these topics are topics that people struggle if one of or more people in the coupleship or in the relationship are addicts, or just struggle with their marriage and they really want to be committed and they want to stay together. To me, it's been such a beautiful place just to hear, like you said, other couples' stories and to learn from other couples as they share. And then there are also, tell us, you guys also had sponsors. Hey, tell us how that worked.
Yeah, so we don't currently have a couple sponsors, but we were up to about my individual sponsor, and I mean I find that to be a great source of encouragement, and it's hugely beneficial for, you know, for my recovery, because I don't always, you know, get to share everything or my most intimate struggles in a group setting. Mm-hmm. And so this helps to meet with one person that I can share those things with that has gone or that has walked the road before me, that can, you know, guide me. Mm-hmm. And
like a mentor, right? But then you also get couple sponsors, and that is wonderful. Because a couple can also get another couple that had already gone through the whole process. And actually, people do the 12 steps on their own as a couple. And then they work through that with another sponsor couple. And that is also very helpful. Mm. We are busy doing that. We're busy with step 7. And it has really helped our marriage, because we all have our individual couple journeys. And then to have the journey as a couple together. I think at some stage you also had one, right? A couple sponsor. Maybe not more, but I think you had one, if I'm not mistaken. Because that's also very helpful. And I just want the listeners to be aware that there's something like that as well. Mm-hmm. And then you guys also have counseling, right? That's another tool a person can use.
We actually started seeing a therapist probably about 2 or 3 months ago. We actually have seen one before, but I think we were not doing very well at that stage, and I think I just felt we weren't really both committed to really work on our couple's recovery at that stage. But yeah, I think it's this therapist just helps us a lot with communication and how to really, you know, something that I'm learning is to really put myself in Ruan's shoes when he confides in me, you know, not to try and fix him, not to try and control, but to really just listen. And, you know, we can always talk about what needs to be done or how he can maybe protect himself later. And that's also something that really stood out to me, is that we don't need to talk about everything right now. We can just talk about one thing and how to, you know, and for me just to listen to Ruan. I think that's something that we've been learning.
We're learning, and again, it goes both ways. So I'm also challenged to empathize with Teresa, particularly when I share, you know, difficult things that cause her pain and hurt, you know, so that at a time that she, you know, expresses that, then I should be in a position to empathize with her, to not, you know, not to give into guilt or to, you know, to think that, you know, I'm I'm now this bad person, but to rather, you know, empathize with, right. with her so that I can understand her pain. And I think right. that's what we appreciate about this marriage counselor we're seeing at the moment, who's also a believer in Christ. Mm. And so every so often, you know, he'll bring in, you know, the role of Christ. Mm. In our relationship.
Wonderful.
So that's something
mm.
we also appreciate.
Mm. Okay, unfortunately, we need to stop right now because the time has run out for our program. But thank you so much for sharing vulnerably your story and to give people hope that are struggling. There is hope. There are things that a person can do to make sure. It better.
And I just also, as you were sharing, noticed how your intimacy with each other, with God and with other people and yourselves, was able to increase. So listeners, please listen again if you would like to, if you perhaps came in halfway through, to the podcast at kpulpit.co.za/podcasts/IntoMeC.
Till next time, God bless.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.